3 today, if you would like to follow along in your Bibles. I'm going to be referring to a few things in there. In this section of Scripture, as Paul talks about what matters in his life, when he talks about the perspective he's gained, he's sharing his insights with the people in the church so that they understand what this faith that they have now looks like in action. And Paul is relating things to the people so that they get an understanding that Paul's not just some guy up here who is talking just because, or just because he's happened to get a following with certain people. Paul is going to let people know that he is qualified more than anybody else to talk about God, to talk about Israel and its history, to talk about the Old Testament history of the church to this point. You know, Paul is a person who has grown up in the culture of knowing all of this stuff about God and how to live and what it looks like. And so Paul is going to tell us here in Philippians 3, after the part I read during our confession where he says, look out, put no confidence in the flesh, he says in verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. So Paul's saying basically, hey, don't put confidence in just you and your accomplishments. But he's like, but hey, here's how you know I know what I'm talking about, because somebody might say, well, who are you to tell me? What have you accomplished? So Paul says, here, let me tell you. I have more confidence in the flesh, is what he's saying. I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day. Okay, so fulfilling God's law in the Old Testament and God fulfilling his promise through circumcision in the Old Testament was the promise of God working through his people. So right there, starting there. Of the people of Israel, so God's chosen people, so check, check. From the tribe of Benjamin, that's prestigious at the time. So there, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he's saying, if you want to see someone who's Jewish, who's an Israelite, who's Hebrew, I am the most Jewish that you could possibly be because of all of these things. Then he says, as to the law, and not just my pedigree, my genealogy, but also to the law, a Pharisee, which we look at now and we say, ooh, a Pharisee, those are the bad guys. Because often they're at odds with Jesus, with the law and the gospel. And so here, though, in the context of the church of the day, for Paul talking to a Jewish audience, the Pharisees were the ones that, they were the ones everybody followed, that they wanted to emulate. The Pharisees, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but they didn't think that the Ten Commandments were enough. So they added them, and there was over 600 of these commandments in place. And it would be things like, if a gnat landed on you on the Sabbath, you couldn't kill it because that would be work. What? The one I always share, I've done this for years, and maybe you've heard it before, but you could only go so many steps from your house before it would be considered work. And so on the Sabbath, and so what they would do is, oh, look, Scott's cord's here. This is perfect. So he uses, is this sacrilegious for me to use this? I see him pull this out a lot. I'm going to use it for the point of illustration. They would carry these cords around, and they would tie them up, and they would use them for prayers and stuff. Well, what they start doing so that they could stay home and not break the Sabbath rule is they would tie to their doorpost and then tie the other end, and they would keep going. So as long as it was tied, they were still at home. So they had a really long rope. I'm not kidding. And then where they would untie, and that would be the starting point of where they left their house. I mean, so they're fulfilling the law that they created, ironically, but not. Things like this. So they had all of these laws, and then they had all of these ways to work within the laws to make themselves look good. But to the people of the day, that was still something that was emulated. We want to be like the Pharisees. So Paul's like, hey, I've got all this, and I know the law, and Zealously, with passion, I persecute the church. That's this upstart stuff with this Jesus person that's going on. It's the stuff that is happening to the people of Israel, all the people that Paul is talking about, that most of them are fighting against. And so Paul's saying, I push that out. Then he says, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He's like, I've got it nailed. I've done nothing against God's law. And so what he's doing here is going, nobody is more accomplished than me. Nobody can speak to these things more than me. And yet, I consider them nothing. Verse 7, Philippians 3, verse 7. Whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. So what he basically says is, everything I've done in my life, everything I've worked for, everything I have, everything people see me as, I consider it worth nothing compared to the Messiah. Indeed, he says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's for his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul says, all of this I'm throwing out. And this word he uses here for rubbish is worse than that. It's filth. It's excrement. It's a bad word. It's not a church word. And Paul says that this, it's like a bumper sticker word that you hope your kid doesn't read, right? But think about what Paul's saying is everything the world holds dear, everything that you were just impressed by is worth less than that compared to knowing Jesus Christ. And so what Paul wants people in the church to know, what Paul wants people in the church to know is that Jesus matters. That grace is real. That you're forgiven. That all of this revelation about who God is through Jesus is true. That the love of Christ is worth everything. And so Paul wants us to see a bigger picture. He wants us to look outside of our normal everyday lives where we are putting so much confidence in worldly things. And he wants us to see what we have in Jesus every single day. That's the point of this. Be reminded every single day that when you have Jesus, you have everything, even when it feels like you have nothing. And so Paul's saying, I've got all of these things. I've done all of these things. I count it as worthless compared to knowing Jesus. I want you to know what I know and to live in that. And so he takes everything worldly and throws it out and tells us to put all of our confidence in everything heavenly because that's what we have to gain. And so then he goes on here and he says, that you may gain Christ, have found in him, not having a righteousness that comes from the law, but which comes through faith. Righteousness from God that depends on faith. And this is the part where Paul's applying and telling us how to do it. Because most of you out there are probably in agreement so far to say, yeah, we need to put more focus on Jesus every day. We need to remember those things that we push aside. But the reality is, Monday comes, Tuesday comes, and life goes on, and it gets really easy to get caught back up in those things. So what Paul's doing is saying, hey, here's some ways that you can think about this. That you return to your faith in Jesus when you have doubts. That you look to God's word for guidance. That you surround yourself with reminders through prayer, through God's word, through personal devotion, through Bible studies, through all of these different ways that you're reminding yourself through the week when you're not here to turn back to that faith and to put it at the forefront. And so Paul's just saying, hey, those are some things that you need to do in your life, is whatever it looks like for you, and everybody's different. You know, I was talking to somebody, actually a pastor friend called me the other day and said, you know, I'm struggling with my prayer life. And I said, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I'll go in a room for like an hour to pray in the quiet, and after like 5 minutes, I feel like I'm done, and I just start thinking about other stuff. I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, I feel bad. And I'm like, why? Who told you to go in a room for an hour? But you see the point? Like, we convince ourselves, in his mind, he was like, oh, if I do this, then I'm going to be, you know, where God wants me to be, and I should be able to give God an hour. How many times have you said at some point in your life, man, I can just give God 1 hour this week. Look at how many hours there are, whatever it's for something. And then it's like you try to do it, and that hour, you're always busy or there's a distraction. But like he was talking, and I'm like, dude, you don't have to go in there for an hour. If your gift isn't meditative, silent, quiet prayer, don't do that. You know, and we talked about, and I just said, well, how do you like to pray? And he's like, well, I pray. He's like, I've been praying like 20 times a day for like a minute, 2 minutes at a time, intentionally. And I'm going, well, do the math on that. You're covered. You know, so my point is that if you try something that doesn't work, like sitting in a room for an hour and you can't concentrate, then try something else. And I'm encouraging you to say, find a way where you can connect with God's word through the week and do it in a way that just reminds you of the grace and the joy in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying here, is just remember that. And he says to go on, so that I know the power of the resurrection and share in the sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain resurrection from the dead. Well, then Paul's saying, and then when I go through suffering, when life is hard, it's going to be that much greater joy when I experience the resurrection. And again, this is Paul just pointing back to saying, here's what really matters. That everything is worth having this eternal life, this resurrection life Paul's talking about. And Jesus does this a lot too. Jesus, you know, with like the woman at the well, and he says, I have water that you'll never be thirsty again. And she's like, give me this water. And Jesus is like, I am the water. You know, this idea of having this life that's forever, this is what people want. And Paul's going, the thing you already have, the thing that's worth the most, the thing that everyone that tries to attain eternal life is already yours, because Jesus suffered more than you're ever going to. And so this isn't Paul like commanding us out of a law. This isn't me up here telling you, you must do this to be. This is Paul sharing. This is me sharing, going, gosh, there's such a better way to live in the resurrection, to live in the eternal life that Jesus gives. And I want to remind you that I fall short. I, Paul, fall short in this. And that when you do, it's okay, because you still have it. And he says, not that this eternal life is already mine, and I'm definitely not perfect. He says, I'm not perfect, but I press on because Jesus had made me his own. So, yep, I'm going to suffer. Yep, I'll eventually die temporarily. But Jesus Christ has made me his. And so death is temporary, and the life, the resurrection life, is forever. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what lies ahead. This is where Paul says, don't live in the past. Don't live in what was. Live in what is and what will be and what has been. In the hope and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so my prayer for us, my hope for us, is that when we settle for the things in life that disappoint, when we fail to live up to who we want to be or who God's called us to be, that we don't live in that forever. And when we're successful and everything's going well, that we don't live in that forever either. That we find the balance of living in the resurrection truth of Jesus Christ. That we let the love of Christ flow through us so that people see Jesus through us. Let's take a moment and just ask the Lord to bless these words and to work through our lives through this message and through his word. Jesus, we thank you for the reminder in Paul's word, in your word, Lord, that you are the resurrection, that the life we have because of you is more than anything the world could ever give us. When we lose focus, when we fail to live up to who you've made us to be, Lord, we just ask for your grace and your mercy. Help us to show your love to others in all that we say and do this week. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.